we delve into the non-traditional Christmas songs. We're doing that on Twitter yesterday. I gotta say, my buddy John Sharp wins that one. We're all back and forth with our favorite, like, modern rock and roll Christmas songs. John comes in with AC/DC's Mistress for Christmas.
Oh, man, it's killer. And, you know, Brian Johnson, the lead singer there, I think he is mostly deaf now. And he did that for us, really. He rocked so hard for so many years that he lost his hearing for us.
I'm surprised it took that long, right? Because, I mean, I didn't even have the volume level that he did. Although I did see them as a child in Pensacola. And when they fired the cannons, it was the loudest thing my young ears had ever. That started the hearing damage that is quite evident here in my late 40s. All right, 807 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Christmas Eve. You heard the update there from Westwood One News. We've been talking about this morning that North Korea says they're in the Christmas spirit. They got a Christmas gift for us. Barbara Starr from Westwood One with more.
That's left U.S. intelligence and the military looking for signs of what the North Koreans are planning. New images show expanded efforts at one plant for production of long-range intercontinental ballistic missile launchers. At the Sohae Satellite Launching Station, the U.S. is looking for signs of more advanced engine missile tests or launch of a long-range missile that could threaten the U.S. There are even worries of an underground nuclear test.
All right, so obviously Lil' Kim wants something, right? That's usually what happens. The saber-rattling happens. North Korea, they want some movement on this negotiation with the United States, so they're saying it. Of course, I see it in a ridiculous mode through my eyes. I see him sitting down writing a letter, you know, saying, Santa, what I want
Dear Santa,
this is what I want for Christmas. Sending a list. And like I said, the danger for the North Koreans, remember, I would remind them, re-gifting. They send something our way, we can re-gift it right back at them. I don't think they want that re-gift.
Yeah, and another thing, I mean, of course we're thinking long-range missiles, maybe an underground
ICBM,
nuke test, but they could also be launching a satellite into space. That's also a possibility.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see what happens. The Christmas gift. North Korea, they had the... Could give us a Christmas gift. All right. See how that works out. All right. It is a Tuesday morning. We check in with Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com. Also read his work, Washington Examiner. And check out the trilogy, the Matt Jones trilogy, available now at Amazon.com. Hey, Quinn.
Merry Christmas Eve, guys.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you and your whole crew. Yeah, so a Christmas gift. North Koreans are going to send us something. Just wait. We're shaking the package, trying to figure out what it is.
Don't shake it too hard.
Well, of course he's giving us a Christmas gift because Donald Trump says that he fell in love with Kim. And since he fell in love with the North Korean dictator, the North Korean dictator is going to be nice and give us all something very nice.
Well, I mean, so you are parroting, and not saying it's not your own ideas, but you and John Bolton are on the same page here, right?
I'm often on the same page as John Bolton.
I know.
Bolton is I'm not always, but often, and he's absolutely right here. The way that we have kowtowed to Kim for the last 3 years is absurd, and it has given him the belief that he can get away with more rather than less, and so now he's telling us that tomorrow we'll see what the more is. I hope it's just another of his failed launches. I mean, they are known for trying to shoot off test missiles that fizzle like bad fireworks and go right into the ocean with a poof. So let's just hope that that's what it is.
Yeah, we'll watch that. I wonder if nothing will change there. If this will be, no matter how you do this, you come in with a hard negotiation, you come in with a softer side, whatever it is, if nothing changes until Un is out, and whether that is because of natural death or some kind of uprising or coup d'etat or something like that, if there ever will be a time, really, that we'll sit down with him, he'll go, okay, I'll quit, and I honestly, this time, I really mean it, we're not going to be pursuing nuclear weapons. I just don't see it happening.
I don't see it happening either. I mean, the only thing that he understands is pressure. And we haven't actually put much pressure on him. I mean, he's asked us.
But that didn't work either. We've tried that in the past. We've tried different versions of this with the same outcome.
Well, actually, I would argue, I can't cite chapter and verse right now because I don't have it on the tip of my mind, but I would argue that there have been several times when we use pressure and he sort of retreated, or he, maybe I'm thinking of his father, briefly retreated with tail between legs. So, you know,
But we didn't change, and they may be right. We could go back and look at the negotiations back and forth, whether it's ill or un, but we're still dealing with a North Korea that doesn't give a flip about its people and continues its nuclear ambitions to the next level, next level, next level.
That's true. But, you know, at some point, the system might collapse. I mean, that's what systems like theirs that are that inefficient do. And there might be hope. But if you give them an inch, you know, they'll take, if not a mile, they'll at least take a quarter mile and keep on going. So I would listen to John Bolton here.
You know, in the media and everyone talking about this quote-unquote Christmas present, we're acting like we don't have any idea what it might be. Surely our intelligence knows what's going down, right?
Well, but the story I heard is that our intelligence people were sort of scratching their heads wondering what it might be. I mean, I don't know. I'm certainly not in the intelligence community, but our intelligence forces, although I think they're better than sometimes they're given credit for, they're also, you know, we've seen that they have made mistakes in the past, and sometimes they get caught off guard, and it's particularly easy to get caught off guard in a closed society like North Korea, because all we have there is not informants, but just sort of satellite and technological stuff, and that doesn't work as well as human tell in some cases.
All right. So we'll see what happens on that tomorrow. Then on the other front, it's Mitch McConnell saying, hey, these articles haven't been delivered to the Senate. I'm going home for Christmas. I guess looking at the calendar here, this wouldn't be taken up till what, January like 7th or something at the earliest.
Yeah, and that's understandable. When you get into the Christmas season, you know, there's nothing the Senate's really going to do anyway. Clinton was impeached one day later in the calendar year than Trump was, and they didn't take up impeachment in the Senate for 18 days. So this is actually very normal. It just has to do with the time of the year, and it's really really not something that the media should make a big deal over it either way.
But I'm interested with Speaker Pelosi talking about how quickly everything had to be done, that President Trump was a clear and present danger, you know, and all this rhetoric, and then to sit back and go, well, we got to figure out when we're going to deliver these articles to the Senate, and then acting like there's leverage over Mitch McConnell. What leverage does she have over Mitch McConnell?
I'm not sure she has a lot of leverage except on a sort of bank shot, because it's known that Trump actually is now eager for a fight because he thinks the Senate should call people like Hunter Biden as a witness, and so he wants a trial so he can say he was exonerated.
Mm-hmm.
And so while McConnell doesn't seem to want a trial, Trump does. Now that he's been impeached, Trump wants to go the step further and say he was exonerated, and so that's the only leverage that Nancy Pelosi has. But I would also say this. I'm not sure as much that she's playing, trying to play some sort of major, you know, multidimensional chess. I think it's actually true that she's worried about what the rules are going to be. There's not a prosecutor in the country that would figure out which of his lawyers to appoint to a trial until he knows what the trial rules are. I mean, some lawyers are better at constitutional issues. Some lawyers are better at handling evidence. You know, lawyers have different skills, and her impeachment managers are going to have different skills, and she wants to know what the rules are. That in itself is actually a fairly reasonable request. If she's acting like it's some sort of brilliant political move for leverage, that's where she goes off the rails.
Yeah, but I would argue that if you're looking at it and say, hey, the president didn't get a fair shake by the Democrats in the House, why should the Senate, controlled by the Republicans, you know, capitulate. I mean, this back to our discussion of, you know, you get this idea of statesmanship, but then you got the idea of brinksmanship is what's in the, you know, here in 2019 and 2020.
Right, and I've written columns blasting both sides consistently for how they have behaved throughout their early on in the process. The House and Pelosi definitely were not fair. They actually got much more fair as things went on because all the transcripts were available. They finally did give Trump the ability to call witnesses and do that kind of thing, and then Trump said, "Oh well, no, I'm not going to do it."
McConnell's suggestion.
The point is, it all comes out in the wash in the end, because what matters are facts, evidence, and the conclusions or the arguments you can draw from them. And for something as serious as impeachment, once it reaches the Senate, you actually need a trial. You should not just dismiss it and throw it under the rug. President Trump is right. It would be better for him to be exonerated after a full trial than it would be for the Senate to just go ahead and say, we're not paying any attention to it. We're going to dismiss it without holding a trial, because that makes it look like some political thing, totally political hardball, rather than, oh, they looked at the evidence and they said I was clean.
But you're telling me it doesn't look like just some political thing with the Democrats going through that procedure in the House? I know you said you think they got a little more fair towards the end, but come on.
They did get fair toward the end. I mean, I wrote six different columns blasting them for how unfair they were early on. So I've got some credibility here. By the end, the Trump team were given every opportunity they could have wanted, and they declined the opportunity to offer rebuttals. So, that still doesn't make what the Democrats did right, but it also means that some of the caterwauling on the other side is just not accurate. It's just not. I mean, you know, I followed this stuff, I followed Charles, and in the end, they were given opportunities that they declined.
So, because at the end, the Democrats, you feel, were fair, then therefore the Senate procedure should be completely fair to the Democrats, even though controlled by Mitch McConnell and the Republicans.
Yeah, well, the procedure should be fair, should have been fair from the start in the House. They should be fair in the Senate. My point is, it's time for everybody to stop playing politics and everybody to start playing statesman. The American public deserves to have everybody take this seriously, whether pro or con impeachment and removal. They need to take the constitutional process seriously and start restoring some trust in American government. President Trump is actually right. He will look better if he's exonerated after a full trial.
Oh, I agree with that, but you look at somebody like Mitch McConnell, he's saying that from a point of wisdom. He's been there for a while. I want to ask you a question coming in on the text line. Travis asked, could the Senate submit a carbon copy of Schiff's rules from the House and then make them comment on that?
No, because that's Schiff's rules were committee rules. It's a completely different thing. I mean, it's not completely akin to a grand jury and a jury, but roughly, a grand jury, which is the House, works differently from a jury trial. And there is no such thing as a trial that does not allow witnesses, for instance. I mean, it's the very notion is absurd and bordering on obscene. Rather than play political games, he would actually get credit from the public if he said, we're going to do this fair and square. I think this is all a sham, but the way to show it is a sham is to do it fair and square. The Republicans gained in the public eye by being able to say that the House process is unfair. They actually gained from the unfair process. In the Senate, it will be reverse. If Mitch McConnell looks like he's unfair, then the Democrats' position is actually going to look better in the public eye in the long run, I guarantee you.
There you go. Quinn Hill, where do people find you online?
They find me at Quinn Hillier on Twitter. I've got my own website that's updated every week or two, quinnhillier.com. And for daily stuff, except I'm off this week, but usually just Google Quinn Hillier and Washington Examiner.
And they want to get a copy of the book?
The books are at Amazon.com. It's the Mad Jones Trilogy, also known as the Accidental Prophet Trilogy.
There we go.
And y'all have a Merry Christmas, including all your listeners. Please have a wonderful, wonderful, joyous Christmas.
Merry Christmas back at you, and we'll talk to you coming up next week.
Thank you.
All right. Quinn Hillier, check it in, and we'll be right back.
He's making a list, checking it twice, gonna find out who's naughty or nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping, he knows when you're awake.
Are we allowed to play this?
I'm personally triggered right now.
There's a new version out, right?
Yeah, John Legend, and can't remember the female voice on the track.
Are they allowed to identify as male and female in it?
Good question. I might have just...
You offended some more people?
I think I did.
So they maybe the...
She.
Baby. How about individual human that's not me? It's colder than average, even though we're in global warming outside. Something like that. We could rework the title.
Yeah, I think the new song, it sounds like he's almost pushing her out the door, like, you don't need to stay. Go on. You're free.
There you go. 828 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Hey, I got an idea for a last-minute gift that's going to give year-round, and that's the gift of clean and the gift of time when you get an estimate, a free estimate from the maids, and get them to your house. They're referred for a reason. Listen to this. 96% of people who use the maids said they would refer to friends and family. I'm one of those folks. I consider y'all my friends and family. We've been working with the maids since October and made such a difference in our life. Number one, house spotless. Number two, plenty time to enjoy the holidays. And that's been a fantastic gift this holiday season. Do this, whether you do it right here for Christmas or do it to get started on the right foot for the new year. The maids. Call now and get a free estimate. 344-6626. 344-6626. Local franchise of the maids will hook you up. Shelby is our team leader. She and the other three, the four crew, four-person crew, comes into our house and does great work. I mean, from doorknobs to refrigerator handles to baseboards to windows to vacuuming. It's fantastic. It's so nice to walk in the house and have it clean and not have to labor all Tuesday evening doing house cleaning. So y'all check it out now for that free estimate. Give them a call, 344-6626, 344-6626. For the maids, they're referred for a reason. So many reasons. All right, coming up, yes, it is Christmas Eve. That means the tradition continues, the whiskey speech.
Now, whiskey.
Whiskey. There's a lot of people that already know about the whiskey speech or ready for the whiskey speech. There's also new people coming to the FM Talk 106.5 audience all the time. If y'all have not heard the whiskey speech before, get ready. Mm-hmm. Get ready. Because in this, in this day of political rhetoric, This is an example of what you may hear coming out of Washington.
Yeah, it's a good time for this with the Republicans and Democrats going at each other like cats and dogs, like always. But, I think I was given the whiskey speech by my parents once before. It's a different speech, but had some of the same elements there.
All right, so this is the whiskey speech coming up. This was originally by Noah Sweat. And there's a retelling that happened in the Mississippi legislature. It's fantastic, and it's part of Christmas here at FM Talk 106.5. It's on the way. It's 8:30. We'll check news next.
FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings on a Christmas Eve. And it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk to Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Good morning.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you and your family, Louis. I know
Christmas to everybody out there.
Oh, thank you so much. And I know with it being the holiday season, you have some great deals out there on the lot for us at McConnell.
Oh, yeah. We got all kind of stuff going on. We're going to be here till about a little afternoon today. And anybody out there for the last little Christmas deal, we promise you we're not gonna miss a deal. We're gonna give you top dollar for your trade. And if you want to check us out online at McConnellAutomotive.com or give us a call at 251 476-4141. Everybody, it's going to be a lot of traffic out there. Y'all be very careful, and I hope everybody has a happy Christmas, Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year.
All right. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive. You'll find him on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right, 8:37, and it is time for that Christmas tradition around FM Talk 106.5. It's been probably 8 or 9 years we've been doing this, and already the requests were coming in a week and something out from Christmas. Like, when are you going to do the whiskey speech? When are you going to do the whiskey speech?
Yeah, when I think of Christmas, I think of eggnog, stockings, and the whiskey speech.
Right, it's a pretty good combination. So those of you that are uninitiated to this, so the whiskey speech is, I think, the best example of political rhetoric and equivocation in an argument, originally delivered by Judge Noah S. Soggy Sweat Jr., who was a judge, law professor, state representative in Mississippi, notable for his 1952 speech on the floor of the Mississippi State Legislature concerning whiskey. Reportedly, the speech took Sweat 2.5 months to write. The speech is renowned for grand rhetorical terms, and it seems to come down firmly and decisively on both sides of the question. Mm. Now, they're discussing here whether to have liquor, or have that booze, right?
Yeah, mid-century in Mississippi.
Right.
And Soggy Sweat, the perfect name for a man to deliver that speech.
Yeah, he was elected to the House, Mississippi House, in 1947 at the age of 24. He served only one term. And the end of that term, he delivered this speech you're about to hear. He subsequently pursued a career in law. Judge Sweat was the founder of the Mississippi Judicial College of the University of Mississippi Law Center. The writer, John Grisham, a lot of people know, was an assistant to him as a law student in 1980.
Wow.
So, and according to William Sapphire, Sweat's nickname was delivered from the phrase sorghum top, a reference to the way his hair resembled a sugarcane tassel. He died in 1996 in Alcorn County, Mississippi, after a long battle with Parkinson's disease. So, the whiskey speech, concerned with the question of prohibition of alcoholic liquor, a law that still had force in Mississippi at the time the speech was delivered. Now, this version we get is a retelling that happened, I think, in 1992. Representative Ed Perry out of Oxford, Mississippi, delivering this. And this is what they, for a while, and maybe they still do it, they concluded session with in the Mississippi legislature. At the end of session, this speech was read. Like, it wasn't over until the whiskey speech was read. Somehow it's moved itself into the Christmas tradition, and for sure around here. So here we go. It's originally written by Soggy Sweat, but retold by Representative Ed Perry in 1992, I think. Ladies and gentlemen, the whiskey speech.
I sound like an ad. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? To truly appreciate this classic 315 words, you must remember it was written over 50 years ago when the sale of whiskey was illegal in Mississippi. We sold it, we drank it, we taxed it. We even elected a statewide public official to collect the tax. People staggered to the polls to vote dry, was the common saying. It was the most controversial of all subjects to ask a candidate for public office, especially a candidate for the legislature. This speech was written and delivered by N.S. Soggy Sweat while he was a member of the Mississippi House of Representatives from Alcorn County. My friends, I had not intended to discuss this controversial subject at this particular time. However, I want you to know that I do not shun controversy. On the contrary, I will take a stand on any issue at any time, regardless of how fraught with controversy it might be. You have asked me how I feel about whiskey. All right, this is how I feel about whiskey. If, when you say whiskey, you mean the devil's brew, the poison scourge, the bloody monster that defiles innocence, dethrones reason, destroys the home, creates misery and poverty, yea, literally takes the bread from the mouths of little children. If you mean the evil drink that topples a Christian man and woman from the pinnacles of righteous, gracious living into the bottomless pit of degradation and despair and shame and helplessness and hopelessness, then certainly I am against it. But if when you say whiskey, you mean the oil of conversation, the philosophic wine, the ale that puts a song in their hearts and laughter on their lips and a warm glow of contentment in their eyes, if you mean Christmas cheer, if you mean the stimulating drink that puts a skip into the old gentleman's step on a frosty Christmas morning, if you mean the drink when it enables a man to magnify his joy and his happiness and to forget, if only for a little while, life's great tragedies and heartaches and sorrows, if you mean the drink, the sale of which pours into our treasury untold millions of dollars, which are used to provide tender care for our little crippled children, our blind, our deaf, our pitifully aged and infirm, to build highways, hospitals, and schools, then certainly I'm for it. This is my stand. I will not retreat from it. I will not compromise.
Brings just hearing the speech brings a cheer to the heart on this Christmas Day. You know, Judge Sweat, Noah Sweat, that wrote it, recalled in memoirs. He said, "When I was finished with the first half of the speech, there was a tremendous burst of applause." Now think about this, 1952. Mm-hmm. So when I was finished with the first half of the speech, there was a tremendous burst of applause. The second half of the speech, after the close of which all the wets all applauded.
He got both sides.
Yes, the dries were as unhappy with the second part of the speech as the wets were with the first half. Now, does that make you think about what goes on in Washington, just depending on subject? Do you get the dour faces or the smiles, depending on what it is? Showing you quickly in political rhetoric, you can at least have it both ways when you're a politician.
Yeah, I mean, what an amazing speech. How long? You said 2.5 months?
Yeah, 2.5 months to write it, yeah. And of course, it's about of actual speech, about 90 seconds mm-hmm. of actual speech there. But it's a Christmas classic here around FM Talk 106.5 and a tradition. So there you go. Those have been asking. There's your whiskey speech.
I love it.
All right. I bet you a lot of people that are new to this are Googling whiskey speech to learn more and check it out. You find it online. No real issue there. Just Google whiskey speech or Judge Sweat or Noah Sweat. Mm-hmm. You'll find more info there.
Wonder if someone will come out with the marijuana speech, kind of like that.
You know what? You could probably take that and like Mad Lib it and just put marijuana in there and have mm-hmm. that same
whiskey
debate go on. Speaking of whiskey and marijuana, some Willie taking us to the break on this Christmas Eve. Be right back.
Whiskey River, don't run. Whiskey River, take my mind. Don't let her memory torture me. Whiskey River, don't run dry. You're all I've got, take care of me. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow.
But what?
But have a cup of cheer.
Good stuff. It's now officially Christmas. We've had the whiskey speech and serenaded by Burl Ives to have a holly jolly Christmas. And Merry Christmas to y'all. 8:50. Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, and earlier, the AC/DC
Mistress for Christmas.
Yes, that's outstanding.
It's a nice choice as we look at some of the contemporary Christmas music and the mix as well out there. Something that's just a little different flavor for your Christmas music.
And if you're a guy out there or a woman who hasn't bought your significant other a gift yet for Christmas, no, you're not alone. The president also has not bought the first lady a Christmas present yet. He's been doing this conference call with service members. Very cool that he's been doing that. But one of the soldiers asked the president what he got the first lady for Christmas. He said, I got her a beautiful card. And I wonder if it's one of those, like, 8x8,
it's gotta
be massive cards. He said, I got her a beautiful card. I'm still
the best card ever.
I'm still working on a Christmas present, he said.
Really?
Yeah.
So he's got...
Who knows? He might be out at the dollar store.
Yeah, you'll see him. You'll see the president down at the CVS somewhere near Mar-a-Lago, trying to get some last-minute items in there with the Secret Service detail and all that. Let's talk a little bit about the 2019 Alabamian of the Year, because we're still voting right now. And, okay, for those of you that are uninitiated, this is our third year doing this. We have y'all do the nominations of the people, places, things, critters, events that have most moved the needle in the Alabama news cycle in 2019. It can be positive, it can be negative, it can be neutral, it can be that thing that most made the news, you know, most influenced our state. So y'all nominate all these people, and then Dalton puts them in the brackets, and you voted them through. Now we're in week two.
Yeah, so we're in the second round, and the second round will end after Christmas Day. We'll have open 2 days of voting. Yesterday, we had the first bracket of the second round, so two moved into the final four yesterday, the anti-toll movement and the finding of the Clotilda, which that's pretty spot on. Those were two major news developments here in our area this year. So today, you've got five to vote for, and two will move on to the final four. Bruce Pearl, who led the Auburn Tigers to the Final Four last year, first time in program history. And so far this year, they're undefeated, the only Power 5 conference team that remains undefeated. CBD, which, I mean, CBD has just taken our area by storm in pretty much all of Alabama. It's, it wasn't available before 2019, and now it seems like it's everywhere. Hoyt Hutchinson, you might remember him. He's the Alabama fan who showed up at the LSU game and popped the baby Trump balloon. Actually, slashed is a more... specific word for what he did, and then of course he got arrested, and the arrest video went viral. So Hoyt Hutchinson is on the list. Also, fallen law enforcement officers, and we've had way too many to count this year. And then also Rod Bramlett, who tragically passed earlier this year. So those are the five you have to choose from, and two will move into the final four, and then we'll figure out our Alabamian of the Year this month.
Yeah, so by the end of the month here, before we get to 2020, we will award the Alabamian of the Year 2019. So your votes on the front page of FMTalk1065.com, they're a big deal. All right, some programming notes, too, and I heard our friend Katarina Lukatich from News 5 talked about this group has come out and claimed responsibility for the hacking of Pensacola's city, the cyber hack on Pensacola. New Orleans had the same issue as well. And during the midday show today, some encore segments, my interview with Abe Harper from about a week and a half ago. It's funny how spot on our discussion then was. Now that you hear the news today, you can check that out today. We talk in depth about how these groups out there, who are these groups, why they're hacking cities now, what this means for, okay, if they can hack a city, what it means for your business, you know, and how you secure it. He has some real good takeaways in this, how you could, you know, you could buy insurance against getting hacked. You can buy insurance for your company on that, the insurance plan that can cover losses, but also can cover if you have to bring somebody in, you know, a third party to try to fight the hack or something like that, how that works, and also talking about backing up and keeping your data safe and all that. So that interview is going to run with a couple others today during the midday show.
Now it becomes more important to know that information every day because technology just gets more advanced and more advanced. And these hackers, I mean, they're basically the same now as door-to-door thieves were forever and ever, except they do it online.
But in the get over this part of it. And I think most people will absolutely get this, but if you hadn't thought this way, the machine is pointless. Who cares about the CPU? Who cares about the actual data is what the issue is. So you back that data up, and then if they take hold of that machine, okay, fine. They take hold of that machine. I mean, of course you want to keep them out because there's proprietary information and all those things in there. But if you're talking about keeping your business running, you've got to have that data backup to be able to, you know, go buy a couple new machines and load everything on it and get running. And because you can't be, some of these big companies have enough money coming in from different parts of the company, they can be down for 10 days. But, you know, small businesses, it could crush them.
Yeah, it really could crush local business owners. But it's also scary when you see things that have a lot to do with the public. When hospitals get hacked and city governments get hacked, I mean, there's some wild stuff going on out there.
Yeah, even though we're having to shred everything and take take every precaution we can to keep our information safe. And then it gets, you know, like when the Equifax breach happened, then I said, well, I might as well just go out and I'll just go ahead and publish everything that is in my name so everybody knows, because it's all out on the dark web now. All right, one last story here. Pointed this out, I think last hour, the hour before last, but I remember we had a similar story from the Chicago area and one from somewhere in the Northeast, and now an LA church is paying off $5.3 million worth of medical debt for nearly 6,000 households in Southern California. Christian Assembly purchased the debt for $53,000 and is working with a nonprofit organization to pay the outstanding bills for 5,555 families in 28 neighborhoods. Co-lead pastor Tom Hughes said in a video posted online, "We were able to give a Christmas gift to the people of Los Angeles, no strings attached. The church will also help the recipients repair their credit scores. The families will receive a letter telling them of the news this week." Now, the way this happens, and I really have only been aware of this for probably 6 months, five, 6 months. So when this medical debt is bad and it's been sold to debt collector after debt collector, it's worth, you know, they buy it for some numbers of pennies on a dollar. Mm-hmm. Depends on the deal. So it's, you know, it's getting worth less and less and less for what these people purchased it. So these charitable groups, most often through churches, come in and instead of the next debt collector buying that bad debt, the churches step in, these funds step in and buy the bad debt and resolve it. So they're getting it at a discounted price, but they're wiping that off the record for these folks that have medical debt. It's a pretty interesting thing going on around the country, and probably is the best Christmas news people have heard in a long, long time.
Oh, I'm sure. And I absolutely love stories like this. We've also had stories over the last week of a man in Gulf Breeze who
paid utility bills.
Utility bills for all of his neighbors in Gulf Breeze, and
that were late on their bills, he paid them.
And I even love the stories, especially of the children in schools who see some of their classmates and schoolmates struggling with lunch debt or what have you, and they'll do it on their own, go open a hot chocolate stand or something like that and pay off those lunch debts. So great Americans everywhere getting it done.
Yeah, that's absolutely. So you want to talk about what's Christmas? Y'all, that's Christmas. So get out and take part in that as part of, you know, celebrating Jesus' birthday. Do as he would do. How about that? All right. 8:58. We're out of here. Mike Gallagher Show on the way next. Merry Christmas, y'all.